When a government can confiscate the earnings of the people with no restraint or no limit whatsoever on the amount that government takes, then government has become the master.
Didn't you say that all services were worth at least $5.15, and here there is a service that's being rendered to you personally, which you are not compensating at all?
No, I said to you earlier, unless someone decides that they want to volunteer.
During the election, all this enthusiasm for Bernie Sanders was taking place while people in Venezuela, under a socialist government, were starving. They were breaking into grocery stores desperate to get food.
Regulation.
What do you think should be the proper income tax rate?
Well, the best would be zero.
Welcome back to another episode of Law and Profits, where the mercy of the wicked is cruel. That's right, the mercy of the wicked is cruel. It's like a Mexican restaurant bringing you an unlimited supply of tortilla chips right before they bring out the meal you paid for. I don't know if that's socialism, but I always thought it was kind of cruel to bring out those plain tortilla chips right before big meal so that you don't want to eat. I don't even know how it's good capitalism either, because I feel like the tortilla chips fill you up so much that you don't want to get dessert. So I don't know. I guess it's been going well for the Mexican restaurants, though. Anyway, welcome back to another episode of Law and Profits on the Cross Politic Network. And I am your host, I'm King Ginger. You can get me on Twitter at I'm King Ginger or Instagram at I'm King Ginger. Please give me a follow. Also, thanks to everybody who has shared this episode. It really means a lot. And remember that we will never force you at the point of a gun to share. Sharing is currency, and you are free to do with it as you wish. So, today we have some things to talk about. We're going to talk about Jim Carrey, and we're going to talk about the Gospel Coalition and one of the tweets that they put out a few days ago. And we have to talk about it. I know. This is the 8th episode of Law and Profits, number 8. It's actually a lot less if you've been listening to us on Cross Politic, but if you go to our Facebook page, you'll see that there were actually, I think, 3 episodes before the Cross Politic started putting them on. So there's some bonus features for you. Anyways, I am amazed that we made it 8 whole episodes and have not talked really about the Gospel Coalition and social justice and all those things. But there was a tweet that was so good or bad, I couldn't pass it up. Usually I let my man AD Robles do all that stuff, but I just couldn't pass this up. I couldn't just give this one to him. I felt like this one needed to be discussed. And let's just go right into it, shall we? This was posted on their Twitter account, along with a bunch of other tweets that seemingly bothered me. Because they have no context, people. These tweets have no context. And that's a problem. Because when you're just putting stuff out there, it's dangerous. So tweets up on the screen for you guys this time. So here it says, "The gospel opens our eyes to the fact that all our wealth, even wealth for which we worked hard, is ultimately an unmerited gift from God." That part is true. "Therefore, the person who does not generously give away his or her wealth to others is not merely lacking in compassion, but is unjust." Where do we begin? Shall we go to the vineyard worker? Shall we go? I feel like we should go to the vineyard worker. Again, imagine that. We'd go to the parable of the vineyard worker. It's like I got one verse or something. But the truth is, one verse is really all you need. However, I will say that one, if we were to go to the vineyard worker, and we're not going to go to the parable of the vineyard worker, but if we were to go to the parable of the vineyard worker, we would point out very clearly that the Gospel Coalition with this tweet is acting as the vineyard workers who came earlier in the day, because they're making claims about an individual's generosity, which in that parable, the vineyard owner was Jesus. But anyway, we're not going to go to that parable. Instead, I want to go to Jacob T. Brunton at Jacob T. Brunton's tweet, who nailed it. He said, is God unjust towards those whom he does not choose to generously give away his wealth to? That was his response to the Gospel Coalition. What a great response. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you for that. Somebody should give you a prize or something for that one. Sorry, I had to drink some water there. Because that was a cool and refreshing tweet. No, seriously. There's a lot to break down here. But the main part is that second sentence. Therefore, the person who does not generously give away his or her wealth to others is not merely lacking in compassion, but is unjust. Now, the Bible says that the government is supposed to punish injustice, right? The government's job is to punish those who are unjust. They're to maintain justice. So when I see a tweet like that that says, hey, you're acting criminally by not giving people your money generously, that always concerns me. So the first question I want to ask the Gospel Coalition is this. What is the objective, immutable, unchanging standard of generosity and giving generously? What is that unchanging standard that matters? Because you can't say, well, for some it's 10%, for others it's 15%, because God doesn't deal differently with the rich and he doesn't deal differently with the poor. So what you're saying is that ultimately what you have to be saying is that a rich person who sees a poor person on the street has to give the same amount generously in terms of percentages as the middle class person who might not have a lot of money to that person, because God doesn't deal differently with the rich and the poor. And he says that the rich should not pay more and the poor shall not pay less. That is a Bible verse. So that's a problem. And the second problem I have is this. I don't believe that the Gospel Coalition is saying these things without a political agenda. And I'll give you some reasons for that. One, we can look at all the talk at the MLK 50 event. And then we can look at everything that went down afterwards, but specifically with talks about reparations, right? We need to pay back people who are not slaves at presently, but were slaves. Their ancestors were slaves at some point, and so those were discussions. Those are biblical political discussions that were taking place. But we also see a lot of people in the Gospel Coalition, for example, like Tabiti, endorsing Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump. And look, I don't like Donald Trump. I have said over and over and over again that he is morally reprehensible. He is an adulterer. He does not fear God. He is not trustworthy. And he gives bribes. So there's no way that he hates bribes. He's the one giving them. And he's admitted to all these things. None of these things are secret. None of those things make him qualified to be president. And all those things disqualify him to be president, according to Scripture. So I am in no way supporting Trump. But by those same standards, there is absolutely no way I could support Hillary Clinton. So when we see people who are linked to the Gospel Coalition, and they're saying things like this, and they're saying, no, this isn't a political statement. We're not saying the government should force you to give generously, but yet they're endorsing candidates who say that very thing. That is a concern. And this is how the Gospel Coalition can just clear this up. They can make it all go away, is they can say these things, and they can say, what we really meant to say was that Christians should give charitably. And everybody would agree with you. I would agree with you. Christians should give charitably. But the problem is, there shouldn't be civil consequences for not giving charitably. There should not be civil consequences for not giving charitably. I'll say it over and over again. There should not be civil consequences for not giving charitably, because the Bible does not give those consequences, the authority for the government to do that. That, my friends, is socialism, and that brings us to Jim Carrey. Now, here's the thing. I really like Jim Carrey a whole lot. I'm a big fan of comedy. As you know, I work really closely with my best friend, Chris Wineland. And Chris Wineland and me, by the way, me and him have started a new web show. You can find it on his Facebook page, facebook.com/Wineland Comedy, wine land, like a land full of wine. You can find it there. And so we started a monologue show. It is like monologue jokes, because he used to write for Jimmy Fallon as a fax writer, and he wrote monologue jokes, and that's what he loves to do. And I wanted to encourage him in doing that. And so we started a show called The Monologue Show, and you can find it at facebook.com/Wineland Comedy. So I think that's it. Or it's Wineland Chris. It's whatever the link is at the bottom of the screen right now. And if you're listening to this on podcast and you're not watching this on Facebook Live, I guess you'll never know. Anyways, so you can get that show. Anyway, I'm a big fan of comedy. Wow, that took a long time to get there. Okay, I'm a big fan of comedy. And Jim Carrey, who I like a lot, was on Bill Maher. And he is a funny guy. So here's the thing about comedy. I can laugh when a comedian makes a joke about a political position that I don't agree with. I can laugh if he makes a joke about a president I like or don't like. I can laugh if the joke is funny. And I think Jim Carrey is that. And so what I would like to do right now is I would like to play a clip from Jim Carrey that I actually think is great, just to show that I'm not one of those political commentators that every time a liberal makes a joke, it's not funny because they're liberal. I actually think this is funny.
At the end of it, he gets a little frustrated and he says, well, accurate is that nobody's ever done a better job than I'm doing as president. He says, how
job
can you...
Job of what? Job of what? Demolition man?
Right.
There's none left! That lawn is clean.
I actually think that is hilarious. And Donald Trump is absolutely that. He is a demolition man. Donald Trump is a demolition man. And to some degree, I say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for some of the demolition he's doing when it comes to economic policies and taxes. For sure, and we need more presidents that demolish regulations and those things on the business. And if we had a Christian, I'm sure he would do a ton of demolition to other areas that Christians actually care about. But he's not a Christian, so. Anyways, I thought that was funny. Credit where credit is due. And now we're going to get into the Jim Carrey side that is not funny. So here he is. Speaking on socialism, Jim Carrey on Bill Maher.
The Republicans are running with the word socialism. They're trying to say...
They're trying to scare people.
Scare people.
It's communism. It's
Venezuela, Trump says. We're going to be living in Venezuela.
I grew up in Canada, okay? We have socialized medicine. And I'm here to tell you that this bullshit line that you get on all of the political shows from people is that it's a failure.
All right, let's, where do we begin? Where do we begin on this? I will tell you, the first thing is that he says that socialism is not a failure. And let's just be very clear here. I am so sick of people saying that socialism is not a failure, or you don't have the right kind of socialism. That's not true socialism. Where have we heard that before? We hear that all the time. Atheists use that argument on us. It's called a no true Scotsman fallacy, right? They'll say, well, when you say that person's not a Christian, that's a no true Scotsman fallacy. And you can't just say that anybody who's not acting like a Christian isn't a Christian. And, well, actually we can, because we use the Bible as infallible word of God. So we have an objective standard to that. But when it comes to determining what is and is not socialism, we don't have any good examples because there are no true examples of socialism ever working, ever, ever, ever in the history of the world. And the only thing that socialism has brought upon us is the death of 100 million people, starvation, people digging through trash cans looking for food, people carrying around barrels and barrels and barrels full of money. It is devastating to the neighbors whom we say that we love. Socialism kills. It is bad news. It is the worst kind of news. Socialism is judgment on a nation, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work no matter how many times you can point to an example of socialism where people are starving and they say, that's not true socialism. That's not a true socialist government. It's because there's not a good example you can point to. There's not. And it just drives me insane. Okay, let's continue.
The system is a failure in Canada. It is not a failure in Canada. I never waited for anything in my life. I chose my own doctors. My mother never paid for a prescription. It was fantastic.
So we hear this all the time. We hear that socialized healthcare is not a failure. It's great. I don't have to wait in lines. Some people have good experiences. Other people have bad experiences, but that's just what you would get at other hospitals. But the government's paying for everything, so it's all free. It's great. It's fantastic. But here's the thing. This is why it's so important. And I'm going to I'm going to create a new phrase. I'm going to call it economic presuppositionalism. And basically what this is that I don't care about your stats. I don't care that Jim Carrey had a good experience. I only care what the Bible says about that thing, about that principle, about that system of government. Because it doesn't matter, even if socialism worked, even if people didn't wind up through the streets of Venezuela with wheelbarrows full of money while they're killing stray, skinny dogs for meat to bring home to their family, even if that wasn't true, and socialism made everybody as wealthy as the United States of America is today, it wouldn't matter one cent because the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. So this is why I don't want to get into the facts and statistics and which countries have the most amount of rich people that give to the poor, which countries have the best healthcare system, which countries have the least wait in line in their government-run healthcare. I don't care because the Bible says, thou shalt not steal, one. And two, the Bible did not give the role of mercy to the government. That is critical. When you talk about socialized healthcare, when you're saying that the government should run healthcare, you're breaking God's covenantal requirements for the government. The government is not an agent of mercy. Romans 13 is very, very clear on this. The government is not in any way an agent of mercy. And so what we're doing when we're creating these systems is, one, we're violating the covenantal structure and authority that God has set in place, and we're stealing from our neighbors. We're placing a burden on our neighbors. We're telling our neighbors that they have to give to this system or else they are not generous. Sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? And it's interesting that this is coming from Jim Carrey. It's interesting that it's coming from him because this man has made $150 million or more from a capitalist film system. This guy is a capitalist through and through, and he doesn't need government health care, but he wants to make himself feel good by telling others that they need to give money so that everybody can live the way that he does. But that's not how it works, Jim Carrey. You should know this. You were in a movie called The Truman Show where a guy lived in the perfect communist socialist. He had the perfect society for him. Everything was for him. He didn't have to do anything, but he chose freedom at the end. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night. It's The Truman Show. It's one of my favorite movies ever. And the guy had everything, but he chose freedom. So when you have a socialist society, what happens when people choose freedom? It disrupts the whole thing. It shuts it down. The camera stops rolling. It's a wrap. It's a production wrap. So, anyways, I just find that interesting that Truman in The Truman Show didn't want to live in the perfect society. He wanted to be free. He wanted to live dangerously and cross the water that the society set him up to fear. Kind of like how, seeing that it's the 17th year since 9/11, how the government plays to us and our fears, and we give up we give up our liberty for freedom. But Truman didn't do that. He chose freedom over security. Security, freedom. We give up our freedom for security. That's what it is. We give up our freedom for security. But in The Truman Show, Truman gave up his security for freedom. So I just think that's interesting coming from Jim Carrey. But back to my point about how this system that Jim Carrey is placing is forcing a burden on people, just like I believe the Gospel Coalition is. So if we go to Luke chapter 20, at the very end of that chapter, and this is important because I'm going to be talking about chapter breaks in Scripture. So at the very end of chapter 20, it says, "Beware of the scribes," in verse 45, Luke 20, 45. And in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplace and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feast. Listen to this, verse 47, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Now, most of the time, if a pastor is preaching verse by verse, he'll stop here because it's the end of a chapter. It's a resting break. But the chapter breaks in Scripture are not inspired. And it's very, very important that we move on to chapter 21. And I am so thankful. I'm so thankful that my pastor preached this passage starting at Luke 20, 45 and went on to Luke 21. And so it says, "Who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, they will receive the greater condemnation." Chapter break, chapter 21, verse 1, Jesus looked up. So this is in the same context. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I tell you, the poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." And we always look at that passage and we go, "Isn't that so sweet? That widow, she gave so much." But that's not what the text is talking about. That's not what the text is talking about at all. The text is condemning the Pharisees. He's condemning the wealthy for making someone give that money that she didn't have. Do you understand it? The rich are placing a burden on the poor by forcing them to give what they don't have. And Jesus was rebuking them there. That passage is not made for us to look and say, "Oh, look, she gave out of the kindness of her heart." She didn't give out of the kindness of her heart. She gave under threat. She gave because she thought that was going to make her better in the eyes of God. So do you see why these tweets from the Gospel Coalition are a problem? They're a problem. They're making people think, "You're right, I should vote for more government involvement. I should do these things. I should care about government health care. I should," because as a Christian, we have to be generous. But listen to me. Jesus wants you to be generous for the sake of being generous. He wants you to do it. He wants the church to do it. He wants the church to be agents of mercy. We invented hospitals. We did that. Christians did that. Christians pulled people out of the streets that had the plague, and they risked their lives, and they brought them in, and they tended to these people. And that's how hospitals were made. We own healthcare. There is a reason why there's so many hospitals named after churches. There's a reason why there was a reality show about a hospital with the name Presbyterian on it. It's because Christians built those hospitals. And as Ron Paul said several years ago when he started being a doctor, if somebody came into the hospital, they were run by churches. The hospitals were run by churches, so they cared for them anyway. What we have here is not, it's not a system that is built on mercy. It's not. It's a system. Our healthcare system is a system right now, as we see it, our system is a highly government-regulated and crony capitalist system. It's terrible. If we really want to care for the poor, if we really want to be generous, we should stop allowing the government to take so much control over healthcare. That's how we be generous. So, anyways, shall we continue?
Anything in my life, I chose my own doctors. My mother never paid for a prescription. It was fantastic. And I just got back from Vancouver, and I keep hearing this, like, Canadians are so nice. Canadians are so nice. They can be nice because they have health care. Because they have a government that cares about them.
The government does not care about you. It doesn't matter. The government does not care about you. The government, that's not the government's job. The government's job is not to care about you. I know, it's hard to hear. The government's job is not to care about you. The government's job is to bring a sword against those who do wrath. And that's how it cares about you. I guess if you want to look at it that way, but it's not the job of the government to provide a form of mercy in that sort of sense. And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. We're talking about giving mercy. Do you know that the Bible highly, highly regulates how someone is to receive mercy? For example, widows, they have to be actual widows. And then they have to have a family who cannot take care of them, or they not have any family. If they don't have a family, then the church can care for them. But there's roles and there's stipulations and there's regulations from God to individuals, not from the government. So even in the Old Testament, when someone who was poor was coming to glean the corners of the fields, in exchange to be able to do that, they had to lend their cloak, and that was their only item they were allowed to actually have. They had to lend their cloak so that they could go and glean the fields. And the reason they did this, the reason they had to give their cloak as a commodity, as an asset, was so that they don't go somewhere else and glean two fields. So they have to have only one asset, and that asset has to be given in exchange until they're done. And so the Bible is very clear. It protects the owner of the property, and it protects those who are receiving help and benefits. This is very, very important. I don't know. This is a good discussion that we should have. I don't know that people that have a car, that people that have an iPhone, that people that have a smartphone, I don't know if they would qualify for the standards of help and assistance according to the Bible stipulations. So it's wrong. It's wrong for anybody to say that I have to do this. I have to give this money. It's just wrong, because the Bible says, whoa, it's your money. Do as you wish. God has delegated authority and ownership of that money to you. God is blessing you for your work. You do with your profits as you wish. And because of that, I'm going to put all these stipulations to protect you when you give your money.
That cares about them. It doesn't say sink or fucking swim, pal.
Right.
Or you live in a box.
Yeah.
There are certain people in our society that need to be taken care of. There are people without as many opportunities that need to be helped toward those opportunities. There are people who are sick.
But that's the...
You shouldn't have to lose your home.
Okay, that's absolutely true. There are people in this society that need to be taken care of. There are sick people in this society that need to be taken care of. But the question, that's not, nobody disagrees with that. You're not going to hear people arguing, what are you talking about? Everybody is fine. You're not going to hear anybody say that. You're not going to hear Christian, conservative Christians saying that. And you're not going to hear socialist liberals say that. You're not going to hear that. Because that's not what we believe. We believe there are people that are sick. We believe there are people that need to be taken care of. But we believe that that mercy, that sort of care belongs in the hands of the church. And that's why organizations like Samaritan Ministries are so important. That's why they're so important. They're important because it brings the power of healthcare back to the church. It brings Mercy Ministries back to the church. So I'll say it again. I've said it on the show before, but there is no problem with healthcare in America because of organizations like Samaritan Ministries. Now, they're not perfect. There are some issues, and I've seen them change over time. But they're a company. They can adapt. They can change. They can do those things over and over again. But ultimately, the reason why Samaritan Ministry works so well is because it is done from the authority of the local church. And you're not going to get a better healthcare system. I don't care. I don't care if you even find a better healthcare system. The system that Samaritan Ministries does out of the authority of the local church is the best system I have seen as of now, because the government, no matter how good they are, no matter how great they do, is not commanded by God to provide mercy.
And because your mother got sick.
And look, I've always said the United States has been a quasi-socialist government for 100 years, for crying out loud. There's
plenty of subsidies for oil companies.
Well, but also Medicare and Social Security.
Of course.
There's nothing more socialistic than some of the Pentagon programs that are just jobs programs. The Pentagon says we don't want these tanks, and they build them anyway. If that's not socialism, I don't know what is.
Yeah. I kind of agree. I have to say, you know, they get some right sometimes. The form of government that we have in America is not a capitalist country. We're not capitalist. We're not a capitalist. We're not a free market society anymore. We're just not. We have a very strong capitalistic foundation that has brought us to this point, that has allowed us to prosper as much as we have. But as of now, our system is a system of crony capitalists. It's where you have lobbyists who are getting paid, who pay politicians millions and millions of dollars to create regulations that benefit them. So yes, oil companies are getting subsidies. All these companies are getting subsidies. Corn is pretty much free in America because of how cheap it is, because the government pays essentially for it all. So that is not a true free market system. That is a crony capitalist system. It is a government-regulated system. It is a wicked system. So all the problems dealing with capitalism, and we can point to all these different problems, all these examples, it's not true capitalism. And here I go. I'm doing the not true Scotsman fallacy, but it's true when we live in a system that is crony capitalist like we have today. And the reason that is not a fallacy is because I can point to multiple examples of true free market capitalism working, and most importantly, I can point to scripture and show you in scripture that that is the way God designed the economy to function. So anyway, that's it. That's another episode of Law and Prophets. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to encourage everybody to sign up for the Cross Politic Club. When you do, you get access to all sorts of secret behind-the-scenes content. Really great stuff, by the way. Shotgun Worldview series, all sorts of amazing things. And you can get merch, too. They have, like, a lot of merch. They have more merch than Jake Paul, I think. They have, what is it, a onesie? Baby onesies for Baptists and Presbyterians. It's amazing. Anyway, so go to crosspolitic.com. Check all that stuff out. Please, Please join the club. Tell your friends to join the club. Everybody join the club. Anyways, that's it. This has been another episode of Law and Profits. Thanks again for everybody who's listened. And remember to like and share this episode without the threat of government coercion.